Welcome back, everybody. For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. Friday, February 28th, 2025. Continuing the AFC North previews with the Cincinnati Bengals. Pretty polarizing team. A team everybody wanted to make the playoffs. Team we were hoping to see in the playoffs. Well, I guess I kind of was. And I was a Bills fan. I wasn't trying to face that offense. But an exciting team for fantasy. A lot of question marks going into 2025. We'll break that down and more. And I am joined on the podcast by a very special guest. Not just a special guest, now my colleague at FTN Fantasy. I am super excited about this. Laquan Jones, at Real Deal Fantasy on the Twitter machine, joining me on the podcast, joining me at FTN Fantasy, not wasting any time getting him on the podcast. He's also not wasting any time providing content already with rookie videos on the site and available. Laquan, stoked to have you on the pod, stoked to have you at FTN. What's going on, man?
Yo, man, it's great to be part of the family now, man. And look, when I came on, you know, I seen a couple folks in the Slack, and I'm like, yo, these are some of the homies from the Twitter streets. Yeah. Like, this is about to be crazy, man. Like, we're definitely going to go up, man. Like, I'm glad you invited me on the pod. And, you know, it's been a crazy offseason, man. There's tons to talk about still. And then we got the combine going on now. So, like you said, I could not wait to get some type of content out.
Yeah, and I was already planning on doing a couple podcasts this week, and then the announcement broke, and I was like, yeah, I messaged you almost immediately, and yeah. And we made this happen, and this won't be this will be the first time, it won't be the last time for sure. And I'm excited to work with you, man. Is there anything you can tell the listeners about what you'll be, you know, doing? I know it's early in the process, and it's February, so we're not even at free agency yet, and of course, in season is a whole different discussion, but what do you have plans for the site, and what kind of content should people be expecting?
Man, I'm planning to hit you guys with everything fantasy related, man. Obviously, with this combine coming up, the NFL draft, so I'm going to be giving my 2 cents on a lot of these rookie prospects. And look, I'm not going to be giving you the obvious. Like, I'm sick and tired of the echo chamber. I'm not going to do a video breaking down Ashton Jeanty. He's a freight train and all this other crap breakdown. No, we have enough examples in content out there in the Twitter streets and the fantasy streets about these guys. So I'm going to be trying to go as far as I possibly can where it makes sense to be fantasy relevant. I mean, look, I did Jaden Higgins the other day. I'm really high on him. I mean, I got another video coming out today or tomorrow morning about Harold Fanning. Mm. I mean, the tight end out of Bowling Green, man, I am super stoked about him, and like plenty more guys coming out, you know, in the next coming weeks as the combine unfolds. But man, it's going to be fire content only, man. It's going to be a hot summer. So you better get ready, man, because I'm coming.
Awesome. I'm so excited. Really glad to have you on the pod, like I said, but most importantly to have you at FTN. Super excited. And yeah, speaking on Harold, I mean, if he hits, he's going to hit. Boy. Like,
don't let him end up with a thunderbolt on his helmet, oof. Man. If he ends up a Charger with Justin Herbert, it might be curtains.
Dude, this is the part of the year where, like, especially because I'm a Bills fan, so it's like you get that fun January for a little bit and then the heartbreak. Yeah. And then you're like, all right, my life's terrible for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. You don't want anything to do with anyone. And then you look, okay, now we got free agency, the draft. And this is probably my favorite time of the year. I talk about it a lot. I love watching football every Sunday. Don't get me wrong. But I love seeing the changes in the offseason, writing about it, talking about it on the pod. I'm stoked.
Man, I mean, people always say like, oh, there's no more football on Sundays. Like, well, I've been watching a lot of film these last couple of weeks, man. I just was watching Drake May yesterday, the day before that. For whatever reason, I turned on Keenan Allen, his 2024 highlights. Like, I'm just trying to see some type of football to stay in rhythm and what's going on. Like, Khalil Shakir just got paid yesterday.
Yeah.
Just turned on his highlights this morning. Like, oh, I want to see why they paid this guy, even though, you know, I'm a huge Khalil Shakir fan. I mean, Florio, my colleague over there at the NFL Network, tell you, like, I've been a Khalil Shakir fan for quite a while.
We're going to get along just fine then. I'm very selective on my Bills jerseys. Obviously, I have a Josh jersey, right? But I've had jerseys in the past. Yeah. I've had a Spiller jersey. I've had, you name it. The next one I've been debating has been Khalil, and I'm very, very close. And the extension might have just sealed it for me.
Lock it up, man. Go get that right now, man. he's a baller, dude. Like, I'm really, really excited for him to be locked up long-term with you guys, because, like, at the end of the day, like, all he does is put his head down and work, man. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys you got to reward.
I remember watching the offseason. He was training with Eric Moulds, Bill's legend, and Moulds was talking about, like, how, like, Shakir was one of those players that just kind of, he's a slot receiver, obviously, but he gets out in the open field and these defenders try to tackle him and they go backwards. And it's so fun to watch. And Josh, obviously, like Josh speaks so highly of him. So he was a perfect fit for the Bills. And it was funny how it happened because like Brandon Bean's like doing media at the combine and he walks like after lunch and all of a sudden Shakir's extended. So like the NFL really never sleeps.
Never.
But let's get to this. Let's get to the Cincinnati Bengals here, a team that, look, they got some pretty good receivers too. But they also, like the Bills just did, have to try to pay the receivers. We know Ja'Marr Chase. It sounds like he's going to be the most, the highest paid receiver in the NFL. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's start with Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Obviously, they were very close to the playoffs. A couple of bad losses had them just outside looking in, but it definitely wasn't on Joe Burrow. I mean, outside of Lamar and Josh, you can make the case he was the best quarterback on the planet last year. 43 touchdowns, almost 5,000 yards. I mean, you look at Joe Burrow in fantasy, like, if he had less than three passing touchdowns, you assume that the game got really weird because he had three-plus touchdowns in 10 games last season. He had nine top 12 finishes as well as six inside the top three. And, Laquan, I don't know if you've seen a lot of the stuff we have at FTN yet, but the Advanced Stats Hub, I reference it pretty much every podcast. I just get lost in it. So there's a ton of stats you'll hear about from there and here. Top five in EPA per dropback, quarterback three in fantasy points per game, fourth in completion rate. Like I mentioned, first in passing yards, first in passing touchdowns. We have a stat called highlight throws, which are pretty much passes that require insane accuracy, touch, precision, power, all that stuff. He was first in that.
Yikes.
There's not much to say about Burrow. He's unbelievable despite the offensive line being terrible. A huge part of his success, other than being great, is the fact that 38.5 pass attempts per game was the most in the league. This defense was terrible. Bengals allowed 2.35 points per drive, sixth worst in the league. And the Bengals defense has not been good two of the last 3 years. So over the past three, Burrow's averaging nearly 38 attempts per game. What else is there to say about Joe Burrow? I mean, he is there's not many MVP candidates that are on teams that don't make the playoffs, but with Burrow, it was pretty warranted.
No, absolutely, man. And then you'd appreciate that he's at the top of those categories and that he's not slowing down, even with, the distractions of wanting his guys to get paid. Mm-hmm. Like, he means business, man. And like, we see Joe Burrow get very emotional on the sideline. We see him giving, Zach Taylor a little look here like, yo, what are we doing? Like, you want that out of your franchise quarterback, like, even though, he got the blonde hair, the Batmobile, the fashion going on, like, he's not distracted. Once he's on that field, he's locked in. And like you said before, he was one of the best quarterbacks last season. I mean, if they were a winning team, I'm pretty sure he would be in that MVP conversation, honestly, with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, because it was just freaking phenomenal for him to go out there and play the way he did, even with that defense not even giving him any type of breathing room to actually try to go out there and win some of these games. So it's one of those things, for fantasy, like, I'll never shy away from Joe Burrow. I know we all want to go against those mobile guys, but he is just so poised in the pocket. And then when you have one of the best freaking wide receivers on the planet, dude, like, of course I'm going to be going out there getting me a Joe Beasy. I mean, Joe Burrow, whatever you want to call him, Joe Scheisty, like, he's one of those top tier quarterbacks in fantasy that where you know he's going to be poised in the pocket. He's going to put up big points. And as long as he got his guys out there, it doesn't matter that the O-line is bad. Doesn't matter the running back room is not as flashy as it used to be. Joe Burrow is just going to be Joe Burrow at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you mentioned having his guys out there. He only really needs Chase. Like, we'll talk about T. We hope he's back in Cincinnati. But you look at it since 2021, which is when Chase entered the NFL, T was in 2020. Burrow's averaging still 19 fantasy points per game without T. Higgins in the lineup since Chase joined the league. So like, that's still really good if there is a situation where T. Higgins isn't there. I feel like more often than not, we want to chase the rushing upside of the quarterbacks in fantasy. But if you're chasing, if you're not going to do that, you want somebody that has a chance to have 40 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. I don't think anybody in the league has a better chance of doing that than Joe Burrow, and he almost did just that. Burrow.
It's crazy. It's insane of how accurate he is. I mean, you talk about his completion percentage, 70%, and then the seven games at 300-plus yards. These are not stats that you can just look at and be like, whatever. No, dude, he's out here balling.
Yeah, and like I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, where he was getting a little bit of those like sneak touchdowns. It didn't really happen this year, but real quick, I'm going to eventually sit down and do early 2025 rankings. I kind of want to wait for the rookies though. But I mean, is the consensus top three Lamar, Josh, Burrow, or is it Daniels and then Burrow 4, do you think?
Ooh, Daniels has to be in that conversation, yeah, man. I mean, they got a lot of money over there. They got some draft capital that they can get, some free agency guys that I think could help, you know, Terry McLaurin. So Daniels has to be in that top three. Burrow will be a strong four, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? He could change and convince me to have Burrow at three as well. But right now, for me, it's definitely going to be Daniels top three.
All right, Joe Burrow, pretty easy talking point. One of the best quarterbacks on the planet. But this backfield was super polarizing going into the season, right? It was Zach Moss coming in, Chase Brown showing some flashes since he was drafted. And I was of the belief all offseason that Chase Brown would eventually be the better player for fantasy. Of course, it did take the Zach Moss injury for that to happen. But you look at the way the season started, Zach Moss was kind of operating as the 1A. Weeks 1 through 4, he played 69% of the snaps, had 15 touches per game, and he handled about 62% of the non-quarterback rushing attempts. During that same span, Chase Brown was at just 30% of the snaps, 9 touches per game, and 37% of the quarterback or the non-quarterback rushes. And then Moss was like dominating on third down. That was the key point. Like, I was getting questions like, who should I start? Should I start Moss? If the Bengals were in a game where they had to chase points and keep up, you wanted to start Zach Moss, because Chase Brown, despite his ability in the passing game, just wasn't playing third downs. And then weeks 5 through 8, Chase Brown got more involved, climbed about half the snaps, 14 touches per game. And then, of course, Moss gets hurt in week 8, misses the rest of the season. And then Chase Brown, you can't choose five running backs in fantasy that were better than him during that span. Talk about Chase Brown. And, like, this team has a lot of question marks because they have a potential out with Zach Moss, I believe, this offseason if they want to. Yeah. But you'd have to think they'd address the running back position, at least in the draft, because of how good the class is. And, like, Chase Brown's awesome, right? He was awesome last season, but he was averaging during that span where Moss was out, he was averaging almost 24 touches per game. I don't think the Bengals want to give, you know, a 5'10", 210-pound Chase Brown 24 touches per game.
No, absolutely not. And you spoke on the draft class real quick. I mean, it's a deep draft. You want one of these guys. And Chase Brown, I mean, yeah, he was a top 10 fantasy option, you know, at a running back position. But it's like, is he going to be the answer? Is he going to be moving the needle? Is he going to be the guy that can handle that workhorse ability? And I don't think so. You know what I mean? Like, you're happy for his services or what he did for you last season. So going into this next draft, I don't see myself going like, oh, I cannot leave the X round, you know, without a Chase Brown. I think he's going to move the needle this year. I think he's going to go above and beyond. I think he's going to smash his ADP. I just don't really see the reality in that, man. It's not like he was such a crazy efficient runner on top of that. 4.3 yards per carry. It's not like he was at 4.7 and then we talking. But then you got to remember, the Bengals made a move in the middle of the season. They went and got Khalil Herbert. So they're looking for some type of efficiency out of that backfield, even with that O-line still being mid to low tier. So they want somebody that can handle the rock. They want somebody on third down. And clearly he wasn't that guy to begin with when Zach Moss was taking over those touches. So I think we got to look at Chase Brown as a guy like, you know, he has to be my RB3 or 4 if going into the draft. I do like what he did for my teams when I was able to get him and go through this playoff run that I was in fantasy. But it's more so when we're looking at the grand scope of this and the longevity of this. Like, I don't see Chase Brown being a guy that I can see as a Kyren Williams that handle that workload and get sprinkled.
That's exactly what I was just thinking. Like, there's 85% of the snaps, 19 rushing attempts, 5.5 targets, 24 touches per game. That's like Kyren Williams type usage. That's like, in terms of the snaps, Jonathan Taylor type usage. Like, that's rare, especially today's day where we have, what, 4 or 5 players that are getting that type of volume. Like, it's your, you know, Saquon, McCaffrey when healthy, Jonathan Taylor. I mean, Derrick Henry doesn't even get that snaps because he doesn't play third downs. Like, Chase Brown was literally not leaving the field. Like you mentioned, they brought in Khalil Herbert. Pretty sure Khalil Herbert fumbled on his first carry with the Bengals.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were like, all right, we're trying to make the playoffs. We're in a deep playoff run. Like, this ain't happening.
But what they expect, the guy was cold.
Oh, yeah. I don't disagree with you.
No burn in Chicago.
And, like, the Bengals have to bring in somebody regardless in the draft, I think, because Zach Moss, whether they use that potential out this offseason or not, he's a free agent in 2026. So, like, you're not, you got to look at the position regardless. I think there's a difference between, like, Chase Brown and, like, Bucky Irving, for instance, where Bucky's probably going to go in, like, the second, third round of drafts this year. And Chase Brown, like, despite having the elite usage and the elite production in the second half, like, he's not going to be in that range because Bucky just straight up stole the job from Rashad White, where Chase Brown, he was cutting into Zach Moss's workload, but he wasn't getting anything closest before he went down.
And when he stole the job, quote unquote, it wasn't like there was a huge gap in what he was doing. You know what I mean? Like, I do feel as though that with this draft class coming up in the running back room, you have to address it. You have to get one of these guys. And the league is honestly moving towards more of a 1-2 punch. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the Rams, I bring them up, obviously the Rams fans, but the 1-2 punch didn't happen with Kyren and Blake Corum, but you look at Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson, Dave Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. These 1-2 punches are starting to really work when you get the
Buffalo's got the elite guy they have, but they're still kind of a 1-2-3 punch.
Man, you better get Ray Davis the ball more, man. Look, invite me back to that Bills pod, bro, because I'm really upset about Ray Davis, man. But that's a whole nother discussion.
Listen, Ray's awesome, but Jimbo was just cooking this year.
Yeah, he was cooking, and he felt that heat, coming from behind with Ray Davis, man. But more so looking at Chase Brown, man, I think he's going to end up with some type of competition back there. If it's Zach Moss or not, which I honestly think they're going to take that out to free up some cap. Because, look, they got two guys they need to pay. Actually, three guys, right. But one of the guys I think is going to get out of there. But I definitely feel as though, you know, if you're going into this draft, like say you have a draft tomorrow morning, is Chase Brown honestly circled on your draft sheet, on your cheat sheet? I don't know, man. There's just better options out there. We've named them. I mean, Bucky Irvin, I'll pay that price for Bucky Irvin because he stole the job, literally.
Yeah, and especially, too, the thing with Bucky, I don't want to get too off topic, but he took the job and put Rashad White on the bench in the most pivotal games of the season for Tampa Bay. Playoff games, he was like 70% of the snaps. Like, Rashad White didn't even play. I think we're probably looking at Chase Brown in a 60-40 situation at best next season, where at the best case scenario is he's 60%, unless the Bengals take one of the top five guys like a Travion Henderson, Caleb Johnson, whoever.
You're talking nasty now, man.
Yeah, I don't think they go that high at running back because they have so many positions to fill on defense, but we'll see. I mean, I think Chase Brown like showed that he can be really good in the passing game. Like I mentioned, he was I think second most targets and third most receptions at the position since.
Yeah, 65 targets is insane, man.
Yeah, especially when like weeks 1-4 were kind of a wash. So I like Chase Brown. I'm fine with him, but I'm not viewing him as like a top 12 running back going into this season because of what he did last season, just because obviously a lot of the rookies are going to push him down. And I think the Bengals bring in somebody in some capacity. And if they don't, I don't think Zach Moss is going from starting last year as the 1A to all of a sudden being like a 20% snap guy. So.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take our first break. When we come back, breaking down the passing game, which is easily the most interesting aspect of the Bengals. They have the elite, arguably top wide receiver on the planet in Jamar Chase. They have somebody that would start on a lot of other teams as the wide receiver 1-2 in T. Higgins, but where the hell is he going to play next year? And what else can we make of this passing game if he does, in fact, leave? Back here with Laquan Jones on the podcast. Don't move. We'll be right back. All right, Laquan, Jamar Chase, he was my best call of the year. And I'm not saying I sat here and said, yo, Jamar Chase is going to be good at football this year, because that's not really breaking news. But I had Jamar Chase this offseason as my wide receiver one, my second overall player behind Christian McCaffrey. And I didn't think he'd win the Triple Crown, but he was amazing. Yeah. 127 catches, 1,700 yards, 17 touchdowns. And the reasoning I had for Jamar Chase as my wide receiver one, you remember back to 2023 when Joe Burrow in the preseason hurt his calf and he was not himself to start that season. No. But he said himself, I believe, week 5, he finally fully recovered and he was fully healthy. And then from week 5 to 10, because Burrow hurt his thumb, and then ended the season in week 10. But weeks 5 through 10, when Joe Burrow was fully healthy in 2023, Jamar Chase averaged 8 catches, 11 targets, 108 yards, and over 24 fantasy points per game. I saw that. I obviously know Jamar Chase is elite, and I was like, you know what? This is my wide receiver one. And then he averages 23.7 PPR points per game, which is actually tied with CeeDee Lamb for the most by wide receiver since Kupp averaged over 25 back in 2021. Led the league with almost 800 yards after the catch, 10 top 12 finishes, 5 100-yard games. If you were facing Jamar Chase in fantasy, every play felt like it was frightening.
It was a bad, bad week for you.
Like that, right? Like if they were playing the Ravens, just turn your TV off.
Every year.
Don't check your laptop. Just go do some yard work or do something.
I look at his player type as a villain, man, because you do not want to go up against him, because I'm telling you now, like, he can repeat it again this year. Mm-hmm. And I will champion you on that triple crown on the 102 behind CMC and being your wide receiver one. But it's like, there's a difference, man. There's really a difference when you have a quarterback like Joe Burrow throwing you the ball and have that skill and that talent at the caliber of the wide receiver he is. It's like, it's going to be a big week every single week, regardless of that defense. And I just think he just oozes talent, man. And it's one of those things now, you know, I know we're going to get to T. Higgins in a little bit, but Ja'Marr Chase could end up being 101 this year. And I'm happy to champion that as well again.
Yeah, I honestly, with McCaffrey's situation with, you know, struggling with injuries, and then,
yeah,
I mean, Jefferson's going to be amazing regardless of the quarterback, but like, that's also one of the reasons I had Chase ahead of Jefferson. Like, you could say you think Jefferson's a better player than Chase, but even if you do, it's slightly. And I just want the guy catching passes from Joe Burrow. So I'm probably going to have Ja'Marr Chase as my 101. Like if I have the 101, I'm taking, like, even a couple years ago when Kirk Cousins was in Minnesota, I was taking Jefferson as the 101. So, and then whatever happens with T. Higgins, if somehow he's not there, I mean, 12 targets per game probably from Ja'Marr Chase.
But here's the thing that might tilt that. If Stafford ends up somehow with the Vikings, I think Justin Jefferson becomes the new triple crown 101.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many good receivers in the NFL. T. Higgins is definitely one of them, though. I think T. Higgins would be the wide receiver one on many teams in the league. Maybe we find that out this season, but looking at what he did last season before we project for 2025, once again, like, struggled with some injuries, missed, I think, 5 games, but also, once again, when he was on the field, he was really good. 18.7 PPR points per game, was tied with Jefferson for top 5 among wide receivers, just over 9 targets per game. And I just think T. Higgins is, I mean, there's so many. I don't want to sit here and rattle off the teams, but he will be the clear wide receiver one on almost half the teams in the league. There's been this talk about, okay, are they going to franchise him? They obviously say they want him to be there long term, but hasn't quite happened yet. They obviously have to pay Chase. They have Trey Hendrickson, too, if they want to work on a deal with him. Yeah. What did you think of T. Higgins last season? I don't want to talk about the game he had against the Broncos because it kicked me out of the playoffs, and I'm still absolutely sick about it. But no, I love T. Higgins. This is somebody, as a Bills fan, like, the year that he came out was the year the Bills traded for Stephon Diggs. I wanted T. Higgins in that draft so badly. Huge fan of his game. Just know he's going to miss probably 4 games or so and maybe play like half the snaps in one or two others. But when he's in the field, he's going to be a top 15 wide receiver more often than not.
But you have to look at how efficient he is when he is available, man. Like you said it. I mean, top 6 in points per game, but more so looking at that, a dude had 10 touchdowns as well while Chase was sitting there with 17. I feel as though, he'll be a wide receiver one elsewhere. But if I'm T. Higgins, why do I want to go anywhere else if I'm eating as if I'm a wide receiver one? Like, the Bengals have the luxury of having 2 wide receiver ones on the same damn team, and they get the best shot at the big ring, like at the big dance, the Super Bowl, if T. Higgins stays. Like, I mean, I was up 4 a.m., man. I mean, doing a little mock salary cap of what they possibly could do, and they could pay both of them very, very well, but there's an equation where they have to get Trey Hendrickson out of the way, you know, to save some cap, which I think is the best move. Like, your defense was not great last year. You were middle of the pack in sacks, pressures, all that thing. So you have one guy that's performing and producing on your defense. Then you look at T. Higgins, and it's like, oh, I obviously want T. Higgins to A, make Joe Burrow happy, B, have this offense with the chemistry and just building on what we're trying to chase. Like, we got back to we can get back to the big dance. We were already there. Our defense held us back. It's fine, but I think they had the best chance of signing T. Higgins. I don't see him going anywhere else, and he may be the wide receiver one, but you talked about those games that he's going to miss, and then what happens to that team? What happens to the quarterback that's going to be throwing him the ball? Is he going to be as accurate as a Joe Burrow? Is he going to be able to go out there and put the whole team on his back? I don't know, because T. Higgins has not really been asked to do that. Because in the games where Ja'Marr Chase is out, yeah, we get the decent, you know, low end wide receiver one, maybe a wide receiver one outcome, but it's like on a consistent basis. If Ja'Marr Chase misses an entire season, I don't think we get T. Higgins as T. Higgins we get right now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some teams that can offer him a lot of money. The Patriots, the Raiders, Commanders, Chargers. I saw a report today that the Patriots aren't actually going to go after T. Higgins, which for a Bills fan, like, I don't think they're a real threat, but like, I am so high on Drake May in fantasy this year that I would have loved to see that for Drake May. But like, yeah, other than that, like, I don't want to see him on the Raiders, the Commanders. I like it's almost like it'd be the same. He'd be the 1B probably in that at best, where he's a clear 2 in Cincinnati. But like, yeah, I mean, Jaden Daniels is awesome, but like, Joe Burrow is giving us 40 touchdowns every season. He has played, I think, 5 games without Chase since 2021. The production's good. It's 8.8 targets, 6.2 catches, over 102 yards, and 20 PPR points per game. Obviously, small sample. It's only 5 games. You don't expect that production to go out through an entire season if he's playing elsewhere. But yeah, I think I'm 100% with you. Like, Trey Hendrickson's a great player. He just led the league in sacks. But with him having that insane season, your defense was still terrible. And you're going to have to outscore teams probably no matter what anyway. And the best way to do that is to have T. Higgins on the field. So, I'm with you, man. Like, if they can make it work where they have to lose Trey Hendrickson, but you're keeping Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins together with one of the 3 best quarterbacks, 4 best quarterbacks on the planet, I think that's the route you go. I will ask you this before we close it out with tight end. If he does leave, what's the team you'd want to see him on in 2025?
T. Higgins?
Yeah.
Obviously, as a Ram. I mean, that could be possible. I honestly think if Stafford ends up walking, we'll have some type of money to pay T. Higgins. And look, I like I said, I was doing salary cap mock, man. If you pay T. Higgins four years, $112 million, that's $28 million per year. That's slightly above DJ Moore. We could do that. Mm-hmm. We can do that. Puka, I'd love Puka as an alpha wide receiver one, but he comes with that injury concern. So I want T. Higgins to kind of go to a similar situation where you have a one and he could play the 1B. You know what
and
I mean?
The Rams still have plenty of players that are really good on rookie deals. So that helps.
Yeah, exactly. And our defense is clicking, man. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the trenches are going to be dangerous for a while. So you better strap in. So I'm looking at like more so of like the reality of it. Like if he does leave, he has to go somewhere where he could be a 1B. Like I don't want him to have that sole, you know, title of an alpha wide receiver, even though he plays like it.
What about
like
the Chargers?
Chargers, man. He will end up being the one. Lad McConkey, he's more of like a useful tool that could be dangerous at times. But I feel like, you know, Justin Herbert, he needs that, you know, alpha wide receiver one, not a 1B. Like he plays like it. Is he going to be consistent on the season long? We don't know. We haven't seen it. And the injury risk there. So he might end up being, you know, useless in the end, you know, just cashing on that bread.
The Patriots felt like the chalk team, but after seeing that report that they are going to look to potential trades.
Commanders, like you said, will be interesting, but then my concern is Cliff Kingsbury. We have yet to see him have two wide receivers, you know, on the same roster kind of coexist in fantasy. I mean, you think about the time where you had DeAndre Hopkins and Marquise Brown. We barely saw them together. You think about when he first got there with Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk. Like, it worked somewhat, but it wasn't sustainable for a long period of time. I mean, Larry Fitz was on the back end, but Cliff has not shown us that he could produce two wide receivers to be fantasy relevant at the same time. It's always going to be a tight end in that mix.
And like for as good as McLaurin was last year, like Cliff just doesn't move wide receivers around the formation. He finally started to do a little bit, but like you had nobody opposite Terry and he still was reluctant to move him around. So if you have T and Terry, like I just think Cliff is like less creative than he should be, but we do love the pace. Yeah. They're always going to play at a fast pace.
I mean, he tried to get a freaking, what was it? Oh my God, I'm blanking on his name. Is he Annabella?
Or
what
his Andy name Isabella?
Is? Yes, Andy Isabella. Yes, he tried to force him down our throat, and that was not very creative or smart.
Rondell Moore was there. Like, they had some guys that just.
Greg Dortch is a guy, man. Give him the ball. Adam, if you know, you know, man. It's like, I cannot believe it. Ah, man, that's so frustrating, man. It's annoying.
We got to wait till he's a free agent. Then he can sign somewhere.
please.
let's close it out with tight end, which is actually a little bit more interesting than you would think, because Mike Gesicki's a free agent. And if T. Higgins does leave, like, that spot could be important. Mike Gesicki last season was the tight end 13 in fantasy from week 8 on, so he was right on the edge of tight end 1 status, which is both a compliment and not a compliment, because we know, like, tight end 13 isn't really somebody that's going to make a huge difference. But he essentially kind of played like the Tyler Boyd role without the same type of volume, because we know Gesicki's a slot receiver 70% of the time in the slot. If he's back somehow and T. Higgins leaves, Gesicki's really interesting, because last year he averaged 7.2 targets, 5.2 catches, 62 yards, just under 14 PPR points per game without Higgins in 2024. And this is going to be a team that probably is top five in pass attempts per game again. And Gesicki could be looking at seven and a half targets per game if he's a tight end one, and the maybe the second option in this passing game. They'd obviously bring in receivers via the draft. I know Jermaine Burton hasn't really lived up to the hype at all.
That guy.
And man, if Eric All can stay healthy, I really liked what we saw from him. But, you know, he suffers the torn ACL in his last season in college at Iowa, and then he suffers the same ACL tear halfway through last season. So that was frustrating, because he was really starting to come on a little bit. But tight end, when I first took notes down, I was like, all right, this is going to be, it's not really going to be fantasy relevant, but they have some decisions to make, not only at, you know, with T. Higgins, but Mike Gesicki as well, because he made some plays for them. 65 catches, 665 yards, only 2 touchdowns, but more interesting than I initially thought at tight end.
No, definitely. When he was showing up last season, I'm like, man, I don't know why it didn't work in Miami, but he is a guy that you could really work into your offense. And then when Higgins went down, he was producing and he was getting open. He was being a guy. And I think that, you know, Zach Taylor, he's really good at getting his tight ends involved. I remember when Drew Sample was almost a thing, you know, we were all excited about that. And I definitely think they've been trying to work him in. And I think, you know, he'll probably want to stick around, honestly. Like, I don't think he will try to break the bank. I honestly think he's a good fit there for him and Burrow to get that connection that they had last season. And, like, you know, shout out to Gesicki, big Jersey guy, man. You know, I'm a New Jersey guy, so I want to see my guys, you know, go out there and perform and be able to show up and show out. But I think it will be very interesting what they can do in a draft as well, if they want to let him walk at the tight end position, being that there's a couple guys out here that I think will be nice plug and play fits for them. But more so looking at Gesicki on a fantasy scale, if Higgins walks, Gesicki becomes a very interesting tight end target in those late rounds. Like, if you're going to be punting on the big names, like, okay, I'll sit in those late rounds. I'm talking double digits. Like, Gasecki's not going to move above the 10th round.
I'm double tapping. Laquan, I'm so done. I'm so done drafting tight ends in the middle rounds that could break out, because, first of all, Dalton Kincaid last year was one of those players that didn't work. And it's not only the fact that if they don't hit, they can hit and still be, like, a barely better than the late tight ends. And then you're passing on somebody in the middle rounds. That's like, I remember Kincaid was going like around guys like Terry McLaurin and those guys last year. And it's like, if you,
he was going very aggressive.
Yeah. And like, and I'll admit, like, I was high on him, but and that's not even just a Kincaid thing. That's just the strategy I have now going forward. If I miss out on McBride or Bowers or Kittle, I'm double tapping late. I'm taking Hunter Henry and Mike Gesicki if he's back. I'm taking maybe a rookie tight end that's not Tyler Ward.
John New.
Yeah, exactly.
Take some John
New, man. I mean,
like, how I try to like gauge my interest in a tight end, it's literally the situation. Like, I really feel as though, you know, John New, like, he was tight end 36 at one point, you know, and I'm like, I'm going to be smashing John New wherever he goes, Pauls, based on the situation he's with. You have Mike McDaniel that's been searching, and we talked about Mike Gesicki. He got him the hell out of there. He had freaking Dorham Smythe or whatever playing more snaps, running more routes than him, and had Gesicki blocking. It didn't make sense, but he's looking for a guy that can be elusive. So when you look at the tight end situation, Gesicki's a nice plug and play, man, if he ends up being the second option, man. And it just seems like it just will work for you if you wait in those later rounds. And again, situations matter, man. Don Kincaid for me was too aggressively going high, just based on knowing Joe Brady, man. Like, he wants to spread the ball around. Like, it goes back to his time with the Panthers. Like, he had 3 wide receivers as top 25 guys, and these were just guys: DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and I forget Curtis Samuel. Yeah. And it's like, this is kind of what that system is. So you have to look at the situation. But for Mike Gesicki, it just fits, and it just fits like a glove. How I feel as though, like, if you get him in that 11th, 12th round range, oh my God, he's going to smash his ADP.
Yeah, and I'm also looking for, if I'm drafting tight ends late, I'm looking for somebody that, A, like, all that matters for me at tight end when you're not talking about the elite guys in terms of efficiency and play is routes. I'm looking for players that are just running routes. And secondly, I'm looking for somebody that has a chance to be first, but most likely second on their team in targets. Mike Gesicki, if he's back and T. Higgins is gone, has a chance to be second on his team in targets. Hunter Henry, this season, he just led the team in targets last season. They'll obviously bring in some help at wide receiver, but
quietly.
Yeah, he has a chance. Quietly he did that. He has a chance to be second on that team in targets. So that's what I'm looking for with late tight ends. Gesicki, if he's back, and again, like, there's some good rookie tight ends in this class that you kind of mentioned. Free agency wise, though, like, Gesicki might be the best free agent tight end. There's nobody really at tight end. Like, it's Conklin, it's Juwan Johnson, it's Gesicki. It's not a lot there. So I think if they can get him on a cheap deal, he's going to have some weeks regardless if T. Higgins is back, because this team is going to throw 38 times per game. And Eric Gall, who knows how much he'll play coming off the ACL. But he's somebody to keep an eye on if he's back in those late rounds, like you mentioned. Anything else from the Bengals? I guess one more player real quick. Like, I don't think he'll be super fantasy relevant, but he'll probably get pushed up in ADP, especially because Jermaine Burton feels like he's not part of the plan for the Bengals right now. Andre Yoshivas, he made some plays. I'm actually impressed with his, like, sideline awareness. There was a lot of, like, third down plays where Burrow was off script, and Yoshivas worked back to the football and kept his feet in bounds. I mean, we're probably looking at, like, 5 targets per game if T. Higgins is gone.
In that range,
I just don't think he's that type of player that's going to consistently get meaningful targets. But again, like, they need somebody, because Jermaine Burton is not part of the plan.
Nah, man, and that's what makes me think, you know, if he's not part of the plan, Yoshivas is next in line. Like, you gotta hope that, you know, he could pull some weeks together. He'll definitely be like a low end flex guy. Like, I don't see myself starting him every week, but he'll be more so like a filler, you know, like, oh wow, this is a good matchup, you know, this is a great matchup if he's in the slot, you know, against his defense. It'll be a mismatch. And, you know, like how you said it, man, you just gotta watch the film on him. Don't look at his numbers. You gotta watch the film on him. He can ball. He can go out there and put some on tape and go out there and be a reliable target for Joe Burrow. And again, it all comes down to the situation. T. Higgins is gone for whatever reason. They want Mike Gesicki to walk, and they bring in a rookie tight end. Yoshivas is looking like a steal in drafts, because he has the foot already above the rookie that's coming in. And with no T. Higgins, you've got to go to the next reliable guy. And I think Yoshivas and Burrow, they built like some type of chemistry, you know, this past
season. Especially in the end zone.
Yes, he'll be a huge red zone target, man. I mean, look, he knows football. He has a good brain. He's from Princeton now.
He's also got great hair.
Great hair and great hands, man. So there's a lot to like about him, man. So it's like one of those things, like, if I'm late in those drafts, in those late rounds, I'd love taking shots on his type of, like, you know, type of wide receivers. This is where you find the Khalil Shakirs. This is where you find all these late round gems that go out there that are just straight ballers and just need the opportunity.
Yeah, if we're drafting just strictly based off hair, he's a first-round pick without question.
Now, I don't know, Puka, man. I don't know.
Oh, Puka's probably the one-on-one, but
yeah.
I think Josh is a first-rounder. He grew his hair out
Trevor
this year.
Trevor Lawrence, I guess. Yeah. Even though I got my own personal, like, thing against Trevor Lawrence, I'm not a big fan, but he got some good hair.
Yoshivas definitely in that first round, though, as well. Final question, then we'll get out of here. On a scale of 1 to 10, I think I know your answer. Confidence level that T. Higgins is back in Cincinnati.
9.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say a straight 10 because anything could happen.
I'm at an 8, but I just think, like, you play to your strengths, and your strengths is to have those three together.
Yeah, it just makes too much sense, man, when you can make the moves. If I'm just some guy on the internet, you know, playing with the cap salary on spot track and over the cap and doing numbers and see visually, like, this could be done, I know they see it too, you know?
Absolutely. Laquan Jones. First podcast here at FTN. First podcast with me as well, I believe. So that was fun.
Yeah. Man. Awesome, man.
Again, remind everybody what they should look forward to you from at FTN. Of course, where they can follow you on socials and all that stuff. And this is the first of many.
Yeah, man. I got some hot content coming out for the next couple of days, all on the rookies, just hyping you up, getting you ready for those rookie fantasy drafts. And look, some of these guys are going to be relevant in the summer as well for the redrafts, and obviously for Dynasty, you're going to hold on for some of the guys that I'm going to be talking about in these next coming weeks. And of course, you guys can find me at Real Deal Fantasy on all social media platforms, doing great things over there at NFL Network, NFL Fantasy. You can find me over there twice a week, every single week, man, just talking good things, talking ball. And man, Again, follow me at Real Deal Fantasy on all social media platforms.
Awesome. This was great. Again, welcome to FTN, Laquan. We're stoked.
Thank you,
stoked, man, to have you. And we'll definitely chop it up again very shortly. Appreciate everybody listening. As always, check us out on all the platforms. Subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. NFL Draft coming up. Scouting Combine this weekend. We'll have a lot to talk about. So keep it locked here at FTNFantasy.com. For Laquan, I'm Adam. Thanks for listening. As always, peace out.